Blog Talk Radio.
Happy holidays! Of course, holidays mean something different for everyone here in this great melting pot of ours in America. Some people celebrate Christmas, of course, but then there are the lesser-known holidays, holidays that get shoved off to the corner. But it's that magical time of year for us, too, those of us who celebrate Festivus. Yes, Festivus, created by Seinfeld's great Frank Costanza. The holiday for the rest of us. And now, the traditional Festivus carol, brought to you by www.festivuspoles.com. I swear to God, an actual company that will sell you an aluminum pole to put in your living room. Happy Festivus! Oh! Spare a square for me. Thy feet of strength are musty be. Frank Costanza will pin you first.
Welcome to another section of BAMS Radio. It is the pre-holiday. Well, I guess it is the holiday, correct, Kerry?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, we're in it. I don't know if you've been past the birdcage lately, Kerry, but the front of my house looks like Clark Griswold threw up.
I have not, but I will make a point of that.
It'll be one of those nights when the lovely Patty says, "Honey, let's go out, take our hot chocolate, and drive around, look at lights." You got
it, and our little dog Julio.
You got to bring Julio, and you'll need to come down. And there's a routine on my road, at least, that there's a guy that I don't know his name. That's probably 10 houses down from mine, but he used to work for Alabama Power. And the rule with me is none of my stuff goes up until he's got a giant, probably a 50 or 60 foot cedar tree in his front yard, and they bring out the bucket truck, and then they put the big bulb lights on that thing. And to me, that's when, you know, don't stop, go, don't pass, go, collect $200. It's now time to get down with Christmas. And so it's fun whenever he throws his switch, then we throw our switches too. Man, lots going on in the sporting world. Now, did you go down to the basketball game last night?
I did not. I was under the weather. I had planned to go, but I just actually came home from work and went to bed. I watched it on TV. But
you watched? Well, then it probably helped put you to bed.
It was a close game.
It was a close game.
I stayed awake.
I had a glimmer of hope with 3 minutes left, but they just couldn't get it done. And, you know, even putting the white kid that was the gun on the bench most of the time for Wichita State, we just couldn't get it over the top. And I, of course, was flipping between the Alabama game and the Memphis game with Florida. Two pretty quality games on last night. And
who won that one?
Florida did by 3. Again, pretty close game. Went down to – it could have gone either way at the very last, but – really, neither team was able to capitalize on their position at the end of the game, and I really have to think that part of that is coaching. And I know we'll probably want to talk about coaching sometime later in the show.
How bad does it have to get basketball season-wise for Blip to come back on?
He needs to get down and see a game. He watched it last night. got all crusty and went harumph and walked up and got away from the TV. So I'm ready to get his input.
We could have a special segment every week called Blip's Grant Rant.
True. And I'm not ready to go into Lynch Grant mode. Now, I've seen on Twitter.
I'm not either.
And a couple of other sites today that folks are shifting gears and literally ready to do the, let's ring him up and take him out. But, he has what he has, and the talent is there, but it's only 60% there. And I still contend to be a tournament team in this day and age. You have to have more than five deep. You have to have a team that can go at least seven, preferably eight, that can give you anywhere from 8 to 10 quality minutes off of the bench. And when I say quality minutes, that's 3 to 4 points. That is a couple of rebounds, and the intangibles, the smart intangibles. And, we seem to be very one-dimensional as a team. But I think that they're doing what they can do with what they've got.
Yeah, but he's in charge of the roster. I don't feel like I can fault him for Lacey leaving or Musa Gay leaving or anything like that. But that's the thing. That's why I don't think he's going to be fully evaluated until March of 2015, because he's got two excellent transfers sitting out, and he's got three great recruits coming in, and then we'll see if he signs anybody late. But I really think his true evaluation comes in March of 2015. They've gotten off to such a mediocre start, they're going to have to fight just to make the NIT this year.
Yeah.
But I think it would take a total collapse in SEC play. I mean, something like 6-12.
Well, the good news
for him to get fired. And
yeah.
I don't think he's going to get fired. I think Battle wants to see what Grant can do with a full deck next year, 13 kids on scholarship.
Well, and a full deck, and, the good news is I don't see the SEC as having more than about two nationally competitive teams in it. And Kentucky, I think, is a question mark right now. I think really the only
– They are. They're so young. And Florida is the only team in the SEC that's winning big out-of-conference games.
Yes.
They've got two now.
Florida beat Memphis. And that was a good game. I mean, I think that was a little bit of a rubber match for both teams, because I think it showed Memphis that they could play with the top SEC caliber team, and it showed Florida that they could play against a top 15 team. And
Memphis has a great program, no doubt in Memphis. They're outstanding. They would be a top 3 or 4 SEC team probably
every year. Yeah,
but Florida, I think, beat Kansas a week or two ago, so they're the only ones really getting any big wins out of conference. They're everybody else, us and Kentucky included, are dragging down the SEC's power ratings.
Right. Well,
so we won't get but two or three tournament teams.
No. Florida was fun to watch. I have come to really appreciate Billy Donovan as a coach.
Just wish he'd taught Grant both ends of the floor.
He
taught him defense for sure.
Yeah.
Damn, you got to play both ends of the floor.
That offensive side is just not there. By the way, we've got legend on tonight. The deceased legend has returned from the grave, so we have the ghost of Christmas present. Legend will be in studio in about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So it'll be fun to have him back. I think it's been, 3 or 4 months since he's been on BAMS, but I know the guy's been working his ears off, and literally I think he got off work at 7 o'clock. So it'll be nice to have Legend back on and kind of ride herd with us. Yeah.
Legend's a fun guy to have on, and we could probably just sit back 9 to 10 and let Legend and Drew go at it, and we could just chill.
Yeah. Legend
knows what to ask.
There's so much that we've got commentary on that.
I don't even know where to start.
I guess I could start with bowls. I kind of licked all my wounds, Kerry, after the Iron Bowl, and it finally dawned on me that except for two fluke plays, and I mean fluke, complete, off the wall, off the record, off the hook plays, one against Georgia, one against Alabama. Our good friends in blue and whatever the other color is, orange, I guess.
Orange
down on the plains would have lost 3 games this year. And that would have maybe put them in the Capital One Bowl, but I don't even think they would have made the Capital One Bowl. It would have been something further down the line. So get on your knees, Auburn Nation, and thank the stars above, because you have bounced in on your hairy little mooey asses into the national championship game. And then the other thing that strikes me, and this is why I've, you know, got the mic and I'm having to share it with a cast of thousands this evening. Kerry, what I think is that if those guys go down there, go out to Pasadena and drop the crystal ball and do not bring it back to Alabama, I will never let them live it down, because we both know the team that should be going out there is playing in the Sugar Bowl, and it ain't Oklahoma. But, you know, if they go out and win, then more power to them, then it's just the capper to a really, really great season. But if they go out, then it's, you're no longer a contender, you're a pretender, Auburn. So the weight is wholly upon your shoulders. So best wishes. I'm not wishing you one way or the other. I'm going to watch the game completely from the sake of entertainment, and then we go from there. But if these guys bone it and punt it, and are not able to bring the bacon home, so to speak, I will be merciless. And what do we have, 340 days left till we get to play them again, something like that?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know how your feelings are on that. I know it's hard to forgive and forget, and I'm gradually working the Iron Bowl out of my system, but I'm really pumped about getting my ass down to New Orleans, man. And look who just came in, the legend, the one and the only. His Sons of Anarchy shirt on. I mean, he's ready to go.
Jack Stiller in the house.
You're not even, I don't even have you mic'd up.
Uh-oh.
I got to mic you up. Let me hit the mic on and put your headphones on, and there you go.
Jack Stiller in the house.
Yeah, the previously deceased legend is back.
Yeah, I was with the Sons of Anarchy. I got shot at the other day. Miles Zahn had a hit out on me, and Nick Marshall missed, but...
I'll tell you, it was funny because, and I know we're picking up both microphones, but while I was driving up to Lincoln, Alabama, Kerry, my phone starts blowing up, and I look at it, and it's like, is Legend dead? And then I get another one. I get a tweet. Then I get an email. Then I get a text message. And it's like within 5 minutes, I've got 15 different people, you know, wanting to know what the, you know, this Legend pushing up daisies. And, of course, I got on the phone with him immediately and said, hey, man, I'm worried about you. And he's laughing. He said, nah, I'm working my ass off. Anyway, we're glad you're here.
Man, it's good to be with you, Bird. You're looking good, man, over that number 12 jersey. Is that Joe Namath?
That's Joe Namath, baby. That's a 1962 star.
They're about the same age. He kind of looks like Joe, okay? He kind of looks like Joe sitting over there. Bird's
all
prettier than Joe.
And everything. Looks like you're ready to go football.
We have already got a caller on this evening, gentlemen.
Is it Christy?
I don't think so, because she wasn't supposed to come on until 8:15, but let's bring the caller on, and I think we're going to have a funny, funny show tonight, the Festivus show, so let's get our caller on and see what's going on. Welcome to BAM's caller. Who do we talk to?
Hey, man, this is Corey Peterson, man. How you doing?
Hey, Corey. Good evening. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, man. I got a little bone to pick with Saban, man. After watching that game, I think it came down a lot with coaching, man. I think some decisions he made out there that night were just mind-boggling to me. Why was Kenyon Drake not getting any carries in the second half? Why was he not?
They don't trust his ball security.
I wanted to see him in there, but I wanted to see him in there.
Yeah. I wanted to see him in there. I'm just telling you why.
38 yards. Yeah, I get you, man.
I'll go you one
but
better.
If they don't trust him, why didn't they trust the kicker, Kate Foster, then? That kid missed two field goals, and we've seen that movie before in the LSU game in 2011.
because he made 11 in a row. They thought eventually he'd make another one.
He missed two in a row, man. We've seen the movie before. We know what happens when he gets caught up under pressure. He chokes. I mean,
the one question I have is when we're fourth in inches, why don't we use a quarterback sneak? You know?
Yeah, why don't we get a freshman out there to get his whistle wet and get a quick 11-yard chip shot, field goal, get him going, instead of throwing him out there on a 60-yard field goal kick?
Yeah, I mean, I would have put him in there on that, or I would have used McCarron on a quarterback sneak. But, you know, it's over. Auburn won.
Yeah.
They had the bolt of lightning at the end of the game, and God bless them. It's like I said when we were doing our preamble at the start of the show. It's like, brother, I hope you guys go down and win it, because if you do not win the national championship game, I will give you unmerciless crap for the rest of the year.
You're a better man than me, man. I am not pulling for Auburn, man.
Don't understand this. I mean, I am not pulling for either team. I'm going to watch it strictly from the entertainment value of just loving good football. But if Auburn does not bring the crystal ball home, then it's like you are an epic fail, and you shouldn't have been there. The team that should have been there is playing in the Sugar Bowl against Oklahoma.
Exactly, man. I'm actually from Auburn, man. Born and raised there. But went to school at Alabama. I actually hung out with your son a lot, Bert, when I was in school there with kids from Blip back in the day. Yeah.
You with Blip?
Yeah, I know a lot of those guys, man. Yeah, we weren't really into football that much in that little crowd back then, but we watched it, but really weren't, you know, champions of it like we are now. Plus, we sucked back then, so that's part of the reason.
But you know what? I'll give you guys credit. And I know the crowd you're talking. In fact, this is kind of funny, but those guys will all be over at my place with Blip Friday night, and they're doing a party up here, and you know, hell, you ought to come by the Birdcage, because I know they're hardcore Alabama fans. I mean, we'll have
one
of the past things off.
I still see John Horton every now and then, a couple of those other guys, Van Bryson, and I see Gigantor up here in Atlanta sometime. Well, you see Gigantor up here from time to time in Atlanta. I think he's actually moved now, but yeah, those good guys, man. You raised a good family there, man. But I just got a bone to pick with Saban on that game, though, man. I thought he could have done a better job with personnel on that.
You know what? I cannot disagree with you. I'm going to have to agree with you and say that. But it's, you know, there's a karmic reason for all this stuff, and so, you know, off we go.
That's the luckiest team I've seen in my life, man. I never seen any team that just come out of nowhere with 0-8 the previous season, then come back this year and win two miracle games back to back.
Well, it's back to back, and you know, again, fluky plays on the last play of the game, both of them.
I'm telling you, I still don't get that Georgia game. Why didn't the DBs pack the ball down? I played DB when I was in high school a little bit, and I do not understand how they did not just pat the ball down.
Only Auburn could take it back up.
Yeah. It was real
only Auburn can take a backup cornerback from Georgia and make a run at a national title.
You know, all successful Auburn quarterbacks have one thing in common. They're all criminals.
Now, somebody said you can't play quarterback at Auburn without a criminal record.
It's criminals.
Exactly.
Criminals versus criminals for the whole thing.
But let me jump in for a second. I have to agree with you totally on Saban. I thought he was out coached.
No question.
I thought he made poor decisions.
So
I did. And I thought they really should have put that game in A.J. McCarron's hand and just gave up trying to run the ball and just spread it out, went to a two-minute offense and started throwing the ball all over the field, because clearly Auburn's weakness was their secondary, and that's where I thought Amari Cooper could have had 20 catches for 400 yards. If they have just exploited it a little bit more. And
we got some bad calls too, though, man. We got some bad holding calls in that game that I just thought were ridiculous, called by the refs, and that they weren't being totally fair by calling Auburn at all.
Had a bad offsides call on a made field goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see that move at all. I watched the replay on that 4 or 5 times. I never could see any movement. But it is what it is, fellas. It is what it is.
Give us, you know, before you get off, I mean, view.
Before you get off, give us your projection against Oklahoma, because I think, without being too wild, I think it's going to be a 3-touchdown game in the favor of Alabama.
And I think it's
going to
be one
of two things. Right?
It could be a Michigan State thing.
What I'm afraid of is what happened with what happened in 2008 with Utah, man. That really has me up in arms about this thing. I think either we're either going to blow them out or it's going to be a close game and somehow we're going to lose them. But I don't see that happening. I think Saban's going to get those boys going. I see him working his butt off on the recruiting trail every day, so he looks focused. I think the team's focused. And all I'm worried about is the offensive line with Anthony Steen being out and how we're going to plug that hole there. But I think if I had to make a prediction, I think we win by at least 35 points. And I'm not just being a Bama here. That's just what my heart is telling me.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they send out there. I would personally like to see us beat them by 35 just to shut Bob Stoops up. I'm kind of sick of him bragging on the SEC and, you know, Bob, I've got a boil in my butt that you can suck off anytime you want.
Okay. Merry Christmas to all.
Exactly.
That's more information than we need to hear.
It really was.
Well, I tell you what, guys, I'm going to jump off and just listen, man. But Merry Christmas to all you guys, and good luck out there. If you go out to New Orleans and check out the game, be careful out there and represent the Clemson out there, man. So hope all you guys do well, okay?
Thanks, Corey.
And Friday night in the pack, Corey, I'll have to let the Blip crew know you were on the BAMs, and they'll get a kick out of it. But come on over if you want.
I would like to, man, if I can, man. I got my wife is having oral surgery just coming out. It's coming Friday, so I'm not sure if we're going to be able to make it to Birmingham. My mother-in-law lives out there, so we're there from time to time, but we'd love to come out and catch you guys sometime.
Where do you live now,
Corey? I'm in Atlanta. I live in Atlanta.
Okay.
I'm from Auburn, went to school at Bama, and moved up here to Atlanta to do work after college. And
I lived up there for quite a while.
It's a good area. Well, we're actually thinking about moving back to Birmingham, back to Helena. My wife owns a house in Helena, and her parents live out there, so we think about taking up and moving back at some point in the next year or so.
That'd be good, man. We'd love to have you back.
Yeah. But,
Roll Tide.
Yeah, I'd love to get back over there, man. It'd be a whole lot easier.
Merry Christmas, my young man.
Exactly. All right, guys. You guys take care, man.
All right.
Roll Tide. Right, Merry Christmas.
Care. Yes, sir.
See you, man.
Well, okay. New caller. Love it. So he's a friend of Blip's?
A friend of Blip's.
Good.
Yeah, it sounds like he was one of that crew, and they are a funny bunch. They would gather around the TV. They'd come up with their own cheers, and they were the Patey Hall crowd. If you're familiar with,
I lived there for 6 years.
Okay, then you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the Patey,
I was a little pre-Blip though.
Yeah,
but yeah, I know all about it.
Yeah, Patey Hall was the different.
I still hold the intramural receiving record at Patey Hall for 6 years.
But no, I don't. I think we'll roll them. I think we actually take them out in a big way.
Oh, I think it's Michigan State all over again.
I think it's unfair.
At the end of the game because Kenyon Drake breaks a 60-yarder.
Yeah, you don't want to compare this Sugar Bowl to the Utah Sugar Bowl.
This is a different senior class. I don't think there's a comparison there.
No. Nope.
I think the comparison is Michigan State when we're pissed off about losing that Auburn game.
Yep.
Took it out on those poor guys.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, there's no Andre Smith turmoil in this.
And to be honest with you guys, this is not that good of an Oklahoma team.
No.
I watched them against Oklahoma State, and, yeah, they came back and had a nice win, but they're trying to play three different quarterbacks. That's Barfield-Auburn stuff there. I mean, come on.
At the end of the year, you don't have three.
You don't know who you're – it's like Coach Dye used to say, you know, if you got three, that means you don't have one. So –
Well,
anyway.
Legend, I'm going to shut up because King of Twitter says, "What's this about Legend?" I'll let you just say hi to him.
Hi, the king of Twitter. What you talking about, my death? As Mark Twain said, my death has greatly been exaggerated. But, you know, you can't give up on this Alabama team. I heard Cal Turd today talking about how much he disliked Alabama fans and how delusional he was and how to beat Nick Saban. The fact of the matter is we still won three of the last four national championships. We're still the king of college football. The college football world still evolves around the Alabama football team. And, man, I was so happy when Nick Saban re-signed up and he wasn't going nowhere. That was a very happy day because, Bird, we're going to add more rings. Auburn to me is like Buster Douglas.
Puncher's chance.
Yeah, every now and then. You know what I'm saying? But Alabama is Sugar Ray Leonard, Muhammad Ali. We are the standard. We are what other teams measure their programs by. I am proud. I'm just as proud of this team today as I was before the Iron Bowl. Just as proud to be an Alabama fan as I was. I mean, and it was a shock. I didn't watch football for 2 weeks after that game. And what was so funny was the first NFL game I turned on, Ben Tate ran the ball for 12 yards on the first play I seen. And I turned it back off again. I said, hell's frozen over. Auburn's ruling the football world. But, man, Alabama fans got nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, we're still a monster. And when they put this four-team playoff into effect, we're going to be in it every year. And if the four-team playoff was in effect this year, Kerry, we'd win it this year. We'd be in it this year.
Yeah, we would. You're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm proud of this team. I'm excited. I mean, and, hey, we're going to see 16, 17, 18, 19. And my personal opinion is Florida State's going to kick Auburn's ass. That's just my personal opinion. And, I mean, and it means nothing at the end of the season if you lose your last game. I mean, nobody's going to remember it. So, I mean, celebrate the Iron Bowl, row your trees, do whatever you want to do.
Wires.
Yeah, or wires, that's right. But at the end of the day, I mean, come on, Alabama fans. Would you rather be anybody else than who you are? I mean, Bird's a Yankee fan. I know he wouldn't want to be an Oriole fan, even though they got Brian Roberts from the Orioles yesterday, I see. But, I mean, I'm proud of who we are. I mean, stand up, salute the flag with the A on it. Be proud. Screw Cal and Cal Turd. Who cares if they dislike us or hate us? They hated UCLA in their heyday in basketball. When they hate you, it's good.
That's right.
It's good when they hate you in sports. I mean, I hate the Yankees. I despise the
Nobody
Yankees.
Hated Shula.
Nobody hates a Toronto Blue Jay. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, be proud. And to all the folks on Twitter and everywhere else, legend live and well. Love you folks. And appreciate the heck out of you, all the concern I got by my passing. But I've come back from the grave with a message from the bear. Salute the flag with the A on it, baby. We are still the kings of college football.
We have a caller on hold. Christy. Is this Christy?
Christy. Christy. Christy from Clanton. Come on.
Hello, caller. Hello, 251. Hello,
Hello,
Walls.
Hello, Paul.
Well, this 251 is not Christy.
That's I think I know who this is.
Oh, this is Big Head.
This is Big Head.
See, they're not gonna let Heather on. They're gonna keep calling.
Hey, do I need to hang up and let Christy call in?
No.
She's probably asleep on her couch in her little footies watching TV.
I'm trying to text her now, trying to wake her up. What you got?
Hey,
quick thing.
Moment of silence for legend. Rest in peace, buddy. You know, God be with you, brother.
It's all a
quick thing,
brother. He got me, man. He got me.
Hey, Bird. I'm gonna have to tell you, I'm struggling with this, with Alabama going to New Orleans for the national championship. You know, my traveling record with the team is not good right now. I'm 1-4, and I'm kind of I need your assistance. Do I need to stay at home? I mean, you know,
your ass at home.
Okay,
it'll be on. It'll be on TV.
Okay, all right.
Or you can go to the Rusty Nail. You can go down there and sit down at the Rusty Nail and have a big time and not even walk in the stadium. Get a victory. Get a taste of the game. Watch it on TV, and it's almost like being there.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and
I'm
gonna invite
you from the game.
Well,
we got our superstitions in sports, I think.
Well, let me tell you about the superstition. It's my fault that we lost to Auburn because y'all know I was at every SEC home game this year, and I did not go in the game because y'all know I'm a biggin', and those numbers are too close together, and so I just participate out at the Bam's tent, you know, serving barbecue, having a great time. Well, lo and behold, my own idiocracy, I went to the Alabama-Auburn game and sit in the stands and watch that debacle. And it's my own fault. So I'm ready to be persecuted. I'm sorry. And
I take umbrage to that because I'm the one, I supplied the tickets to you, and you could have just said no.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'll know better next time. But hey,
walking out
the
on the field during warmups, Cade Foster's walking out on the field during warmups, getting ready to warm up for the game, and this smell comes wafting into Jordan-Hare Stadium—the smell of Big Head's barbecue.
It was Big Head's barbecue. It distracted him.
Damn it, man!
But you know, the four games that I've been to that we've lost was as an LSU game when I was young. It was the Music City Bowl in Nashville. That was awful. The 9-0 game at Tuscaloosa we lost, and then the Alabama. Wait a minute, I've got more than that. The Alabama Auburn game, and then we lost at Baton Rouge, and it's just been. The one game that we did win was in that I was with Bird was at Dallas. So maybe I need to be with Bird at the game. That's how we win is I'm with Bird at the game. So
they're gonna beat Oklahoma whether you go or not, Chuck. I was just messing with you. They're gonna beat Oklahoma.
Oh, I know.
Like,
stay at home, Chuck.
State a few years ago.
Stay at home, Chuck. I love you, buddy.
Well, guys, it's great to talk to you. I talked to Bert earlier today. I've got some breaking news that I can't release right now, but there's some things in the work, and I hope to be able to tell you in January some great things about Big Head Chuck and Big Head's Barbecue. But, guys, y'all keep up the good work. Roll Tide, and I look forward to seeing y'all in New Orleans.
Thank you, Chuck. Roll Tide.
See you, brother.
All right. See you.
Well, I had to step away.
I guess the next call will be Marty.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to kill time because Christy is napping with her little footies and a little dog on the couch.
I forget the name of that dog, but you're probably right. They probably snuggle up under the pillows and
The reason I'm saying Christy, there used to be this girl that called one of the stations in Atlanta every morning, and her name was Christy, and she was from up there around very extreme north Atlanta, Forsyth County area, and she didn't say Christy. When she called in, she'd say, "This is Christy.
Christy."
So now when I meet a Christy, they automatically become Christy.
No, we've got another caller on hold. Let me bring them on.
What's the area code? I'll tell you who it is.
205, sir.
Word? What's the area code?
205.
Oh, that might be Christy.
Yeah.
Christy.
Well, it's taking its time to put him on.
Hopefully.
Better.
There we go.
Christy.
Is this Ms. Christy?
Seriously, you have no faith in me.
Christy. We got faith.
Christy Kringle is on.
I love
tonight.
How you guys make fun of my magnolia.
No, 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 no. She is from Clanton. She is Christy.
Christy Kringle.
Christy. Kringle.
Actually, I'm just driving back from Clanton. I just walked in the door. I have been in Clanton all day.
Well, Miss Kringle,
however, I have to take a moment to give a shout out to my UPS man. This man is so awesome. For the second time, he has left me his cell phone number and a Roll Tide on my You Missed Your Package. So I have Sugar Bowl tickets in hand, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Way to go, Chris.
So I have been trolling the Ross Ridge neighborhoods trying to find the UPS man tonight.
So he'll bring him to you?
I ain't going to tell you what UPS man brought me last night.
He,
but it was
he
nice.
Just got my season ticket too, remember, Birdie? He always leaves me a Roll Tide and his phone number because he always knows when the tickets are going out.
Right.
And I call him and he tells me where he is. So Lex Dog and me are driving around and hit the neighborhood and find him. And I just have to have my driver's license and give him tickets.
Yeah, I got
like,
mine
no
yesterday.
Good, well, he said no good Bammers should have to go one day without their tickets. So
there you go.
They're
I'm
nice
loving
tickets,
UPS.
Too. So hopefully Daniel Moore will do a nice painting. I can get my super cool-looking ticket framed up with it.
Yeah, that'd be
ish.
Nice.
Ish. So, Miss Kringle,
wait a minute. Is Legend on?
Legend
he is.
He is indisposed at the moment, but he'll be on in a moment. He'll be back in just a second.
Bird him got a keg in there.
I was really worried about
that. Actually, I've got an 18-year-old. CC, I've got an 18-year-old Glenfiddich, and we're drinking it out of stag-headed shot glasses.
I thought you were going to say.
See, this is where you should have been, Christy. You should have been in the birdcage because you would have been, you know, part of the Festivus celebration up here.
Hey,
you know I would have been there, but I'm the only person in the world that lives in Hoover that drives to Clinton to get her hair did.
What
Plus,
about your nails?
Baby sister is at home this week. She had her wisdom teeth cut out, and my gorgeous baby looks like a pumpkin, so.
Throw some ice on it.
She used to be in pageants.
I'm more than happy to come down and rub ice on it if you wanted to.
Whatever, Bird.
Well,
I'm just being nice.
Coach Ben has been driving from Tuscaloosa every day this week to check on her. So I think I set her up with a winner this time.
Sweet.
Way
to go, big sis.
One of the things that you have started that literally, and it didn't crack me up because it's so well written and so well thought out, is you now have a personal blog. And what do you call the blog?
Mike Crimson Chaos.
Is it MikeCrimsonChaos.com or is that the way to get to it?
MikeCrimsonChaos.blogspot.com, I think. I don't know. It's so new, I don't even know.
I'm just trying to help you get people to read it. But I've read it through Facebook, our contact through Facebook, and both of the pieces that you have written are exquisitely well done. And I invited... This is her name's not Christy, but I thought, what the hell, we'll make her Christy Malzahn Kringle come on and.
Oh, why'd you have to put that in there?
Hey, Christy Malzahn has a shout out on my most popular blog post, so.
Yes, she does. You know, well.
Seth Gus was like, shut up!
It's too funny. but I've invited Christy to come on and read her choice of blogs, and I don't care if you do the Jemez one or you had talked about doing one about Bruce Pearl and maybe getting him down here. So it's Lady's Choice this evening on the Festivus special of BAMS Radio.
Well, I was listening to you guys traveling back to Birmingham, and there's so many subjects my head's spinning right now because I heard the caller talking about worrying about having a Utah repeat.
Nah, that's not going to happen.
Guys, come on.
It's not going to happen.
Not
this senior class. There's no Andre Smith crap floating around.
There is a different philosophy going on now. That was
yes, ma'am. It's a different
class. The process
class.
Had not gone into effect then. This is different.
Yes, ma'am.
I just hope Oklahoma fans are as creative as Michigan State fans because – that message board that day will go down in history as the greatest meltdown in the history of the Internet.
Yes. And I was at the game. We had a ball. It was more fun than the Barrel of Monkeys. It was. BK and I went.
Hey, I missed that one.
You missed a fun one because we had a ball. It was a lot of fun. Well, are you going to hook up with us down in New Orleans?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We're going down on New Year's Eve.
We are too. Well, we're coming down New Year's
Day.
I'm
taking Mama Cindy.
We're coming down New Year's Day. And then I've got reservations at Muriel's for a select group of people. And if you would like to come along, you're more than welcome to come along with us to Muriel's, to the private BAM's party.
Well, you know, I would love that. I will be there.
I've got, I won't mention the people on the air, but an eclectic group of BAM's tailgaters that you know real well and like all of them. So get your butt over there. Well, read the Jameis Winston one. Go ahead and just read it, because I think it was extremely well put together. It's prosaic in its own way, but pointed and topical.
Well, I can't read anything, but I'll start out, you know, the week before, which is one of the blogs. My first blog that I started was titled, you know, it's Heisman week and I don't care. And I don't anymore. It's not like a national championship game to me. I mean, think about the years that we've gone without winning a Heisman, but still being a lover of college football, I've always watched it, and I've always been in awe of all these young men that win. And time and time again in the past few years, they've proven they're lying to me. Quit lying to me, Heisman Trust. You know, quit. You know, just if you're going to do what you're doing, then at least be honest about it. And if you look at their mission statement, they're telling you, they're looking for the best football player with integrity. I don't care what side of the road you are on the Jameis Winston case. I don't care. The fact is, it's on record, his teammate is saying they consistently share women sexually. On the other hand, you have A.J. McCarron, who is the godfather of this precious, beautiful little girl that's been fighting cancer, and he's been by her side. He's befriended this precious student in Alabama who loves Alabama football and has been stricken with cerebral palsy. And he's doing all this. And the worst thing anybody can ever find to write about him is his terrible taste in tattoos. And even then, his tattoos are to honor his family and people that mean a lot to him.
He's got Jesus Christ tattooed on him. I mean, come on.
Right. And it's to his mother, his father, his stepfather. I mean,
AJ celebrates Christmas.
I'm not saying
Festivus.
This is about integrity. I'm saying it's about both. It's about both. And, you know, I don't have children of my own, but my friends do. And I have a sister 14 years younger. These kids make these people their role models. And looking on that stage and seeing who's standing there, you're just in awe. And the things that some of these Heisman Trophy winners have gone and done in their lives is just amazing. And I just think it's very hypocritical to throw that by the wayside. Yeah, you can throw out, I mean, you could throw me innocent until proven guilty all day long, but come on, I've got common sense. I mean, I have the most diehard Auburn fan friends that go, yeah, we know Cam got paid, I don't care. I mean, we all know Cam got paid. Johnny Manziel, I mean, he had the worst game of his life the year he won the Heisman against LSU. He had been arrested. Nobody cared because nobody knew who he was. Nobody cared. He walked into Bryant-Denny Johnny Manziel, but he walked out Johnny Football, and he walked out a star that night. And they want to make the excuse against AJ, oh, it's not a career trophy. Well, it's not a one-night trophy either. Even when RG3 won, Trent Richardson didn't get to play that weekend. They weren't in the SEC championship. He won the game that night because Trent Richardson had no publicity. And I think in the age of Twitter and ESPN, it's come down to the flavor of the month. And I don't think there's anything to do with integrity with it. And it's very upsetting to me. It was very disgusting to me Saturday night. I took no joy in watching it. And it had nothing to do with the quarterback of my team not winning. It had to do with the fact I kept thinking about what does that poor girl in Florida and her family feel like right now watching this? Because Bertie and Carrie, you both know I adore my sister more than anybody in the world. And if it had been her, I think I would have straight up gone Harvey up back on that place. I mean, how do you do that? How do you do that? And I mean, he was immortalized that night.
Well, I think the question is, above everything else, Heather, is that how far do we abrogate our values and the trust of the Heisman Charter? And there's an imbalance here. We don't really give a care what you do off the field. It's what you do on the field. And of course, the baseball writers will never let Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame because, you know, he bet on baseball, but he's got, you know, immutable numbers that will forever stand in the Hall of Fame, even though he's not elected officially in. And it's a little bit of the same thing. At least in baseball, you know, they're saying, you know, you've got to be X, Y, and Z off the field and do these certain things. Whereas in football, and remember my head exploded with the Honey Badger when they put him on the dais as one of the top five, which I thought he was one of the thuggiest little shits that ever hit the college gridiron. And the Heisman Trust, the 800 voters, stuck that little piece of crap on the dais with kids that really probably should have. And, of course, my confidence in the system and the Heisman process was eroded greatly with Cam Newton. Because I think everybody on the planet
that was the beginning of it for me. That was strike one.
Yeah, that was strike one, and that stunk to high heaven. And it wasn't junk just because it was an Auburn thing. It was because it was a above that. And the smirky snarkiness of both the college itself, the college's fans, and then that guy between the three. And there's no two ways about it. Cam Newton was absolutely the most riveting thing on the field that year for Auburn University. But at the end of the day, the ideals of what the Heisman Trust, when they put this thing together years ago, you know, hell, kids read Boys Life magazines. Remember what Boys Life was? Boys Life was a Boy Scout magazine that was, you know, I mean, it was for truth, America, justice, and the American way, man.
Well, here's the thing. I think I'm just going to be short and sweet with this. I think we live in a society where hypocrisy has become the norm instead of the exception.
Well, and it's
Harry, you just read my mind. The thing I hate worse than anything is hypocrisy. And that's why I wrote the latest blog, you know. Don't lie to me anymore. I mean, on one hand, they're saying, oh, we can't pay the players. You know, this is student development. We want educations, and you know, we're not going to make this a professional thing. And on the other hand, that's exactly what they're doing. They're exploiting these kids. They don't care. They don't care at all. I mean, and they have proven it 3 out of 4 years. They proved it with Cam. They proved it with Johnny Manziel. And they proved it again this year, most of all. And this year was a slap in the face to me. Because when did we stop caring about the kids? And what does this say to every 4- and 5-star recruit in 11th and 12th grade that we're all slobbering over right now? I mean, this you have to be living in Siberia not to have heard the story. And it just tells them they can get away with anything. And it's just, it's not right. And furthermore, if you look at the stats, if you listen to the Talking Heads, if you listen to the talk radio all day long, they were saying, well, you know, I think it's all about, you know, how would that team do without that particular player on the field? Call me next year, because I guarantee you we're going to be missing A.J. McCarron a lot next year.
I have confidence in Jacob Coker.
And the fact is, their stats are pretty comparable if you break them down. I mean, you've got a much greater strength schedule with AJ. Even in a down year, we're still, I think, what, we're ranked 46 as opposed to their 63rd. Their passing yards were comparable. Their completion percentage was comparable. Winston beat him on touchdowns, but he had twice as many interceptions. And he's able to pass stats where Saban's not doing that. You know, one thing that caught me in the middle of the season, and this was when I was still a big Jameis fan, he was calling his coach by his first name in an interview.
That's and terrible.
I know. It was a little bit of time because I was still a fan of his. And there's just a difference there. And then to think that the Heisman Trust Saturday night had a chance to prove themselves, and there was a man there that wasn't running quote-unquote trains on women to build friendships with his teammates. He was out there truly helping people, and he was still getting it done on the field. He was 1 second, one Hail Mary, what the hell happened play away from taking us to play for our third national championship. And I've got a problem with that.
You definitely raised some very valid points. I cannot argue with one thing that you said. And when Bird wakes up, he's going to chime in too.
I'm actually letting it soak in, Carrie. I mean, it's okay. Both of the pieces that she has written on her Crimson Chaos blog have been extremely well thought out. And, you know, in fact, what I wanted to do was, because I thought that they were so poignant and made such good points, is to share it with the rest of the BAMS listeners. If nothing, you know, if we don't do the actual reading of the blog, at least let Heather come on and kind of give the gist of it.
I wish you'd call every week.
You know, every time you do a blog post, call in and give
for
us your
real
2 cents, because it's great stuff. But I'm with you, Heather. I leaned back from my chair after I read your post, and I thought, you know, we're thinking the same. I mean, right brain, left brain, whatever you want to call it. But I completely concurred with every line and every dot and every twiddle, every sentence and paragraph and punctuation mark that you made in that treatise. And again, it goes back to, wow, what have we done as a society to basically turn our eyes away from the things that make us better people, as long as it puts a buck in the pocket of either the kid or the university,
right?
You know?
Right.
And it makes you feel a little bit like a whore, and it's a very sad thing for student athletics. And I'm surprised other people haven't caught it and picked up on it. And I don't care who the kid played for, what university. You know, anybody else on that dais, Trey Mason, hell, give it to Trey. I mean, he ended up having, you know, a gangbuster year after everything said was done. And
just give it to someone that's not telling our kids
that it's okay to go out. Yeah, here's a rookie.
Because I'm telling
I'm
you this right now, and you know, Bertie,
yeah,
you know, behind the scenes, I've seen a lot of stuff this year.
Yep.
And Saban has done one heck of a coaching job, and he's had a lot of struggles. And he's having to fight these personality issues more and more every year. And stuff like what the Heisman Trust did Saturday night just makes the job harder. And it's not right, because you can say what you want to about Saban. He truly does care about these kids, and he is truly trying to make them men and better people, because a lot of these people are not good when they come.
28. Let's get this number, and I hope all the listeners tonight will get this and on the podcast. 28 of our kids that play in the Sugar Bowl will have their degrees. That's almost a third of the team, folks.
Well, fine.
28 will have their degrees. I think this is a far cry from days in the past, and this is a far cry from most other universities. And I know it's something that is a personal pride for Nick and the staff, that the kids get their dadgum degrees when they come to Alabama. And it may not be important to Jadeveon Clowney. It may not be important to the guys that are playing for Ole Miss, the two brothers over there. It may not be an important thing to their parents. But you know what? We get the kids here who have determined, ha-ha, Clinton Dix is getting his degree. I mean, let that sink in. It's a big deal, and it's a big deal that 28 of the young men that will be wearing the crimson jersey
And don't forget about the ones that are making millions that come back, like Julio.
They come back and they get with us. Well, listen, lines are open, 714-510-3707 on BAMS Radio tonight. I do have a caller. We're going to keep him on hold. We're going to take a very quick one-minute break. Heather, if you'll hang with us, let's see if this caller has a question for you, and we'll be back in about a minute and a half after we play some more Festivus stuff.
Sounds good.
Kramer, I got your message. I haven't celebrated Festivus in years. What is your interest?
Tell me everything, huh?
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
That must have been some kind of doll.
She was. And at the Festivus dinner, you gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year.
And is there a tree?
No, instead there's a pole. Requires no decoration. I find tinsel distracting.
Frank, this new holiday of yours is scratching me right where I itch.
Let's do it then.
All right.
Festivus is back! I'll get the pole out of the crawl space.
Hello, Frank.
Hello, woman.
Kramer, any word from the vet?
No.
Oh.
Listen, Harry,
I'm actually letting it soak in, Harry. I mean, I think we were over. Well, there's some dead air, Carrie.
Hello.
I'm here.
Who's our caller? We've got a 256.
Hey,
2-5-6.
This is Marty.
Marty, hey, you're on with Heather. You've got the legend. We're getting the legend. And Carrie and the bird. What's up, my brother? Roll Tide.
Hey, Roll Tide. Hey, legend. Hey, I'm glad you got 9 lives, man. Sure is good you got 8 more left. Is he awake?
Repeat that, Carrie. Marty, I was my microphone was off there. I couldn't hear anything or say anything.
Hey, I said I'm glad you got 9 lives. You got 8 left, man.
Yeah, as Mark Twain said, my death was greatly exaggerated.
Good to hear your voice tonight and everything. Good to know that you're still kicking and still around and still giving a pain in the eyes to the Auburn fans out there.
Is there any other way to live, brother?
There's no other way.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, legend, if I have to hear you got a second one more time, I'm going to jump off the building. I'm
right.
So tired of hearing that, man. I'm just sick and tired of it. Why in the heck when Auburn wins a game against Alabama, it has to be some kind of fluke, some kind of a miracle thing, punt, Bama, punt. You know, all this bull crap, now we got the second and all this. Why can't they just beat the heck out of us? I mean, they can't do that. They have to win on some kind of miracle thing that happens that they bring forward. I mean, that's just amazing to me.
Well, Marty, I always say Auburn's like Buster Douglas. They get a lucky punch in every once in a while. But Alabama, we're Muhammad Ali, baby. We don't change. We're still the king of college football, no matter how you strike it, no matter how you write it. At the end of the day, we still own college football. We're the standard. I'm proud to be. I'm just as proud tonight as I've ever been to be an Alabama fan, my friend.
I don't know what it is about these miracle teams that Auburn comes up with that Alabama has to choke on the biggest game that they play against them. You know, I'm serious when I say this, and I believe this from my heart. Alabama was the better team on that field than Auburn, but choked. Every way they could choke, they choked. Missed field goals, drop passes, penalties. Just uncharacteristic of this team. It's just unremarkable. And the reason I'm ranting tonight is because, I mean, you know, I can use BAM's radio as like Dr. Phil. I have to talk to somebody about it, man. I have to talk to somebody about this to get this off my chest because I sure don't want to go poison no wires.
Marty, did you remember to set your watch back 1 second?
Oh, Lord.
So you can be on daylight saving time.
Oh, man. Wow. Hey, since I got off my chest a little bit, I don't know if Drew's coming on tonight or not, but, you know, what's the deal, Kerry, about Hootie Jones?
I think LSU got to him. We'll talk to Drew about that, but that's what I'm hearing. Plus, he knows C.J. Hampton's coming. We're fixing to take C.J. Hampton, who also uncommitted
from
Ole Miss.
Yeah, he's supposed to be flipping Friday, right?
Right. So we're getting a good safety, just not getting two good safeties. Although Ronnie Clark is going to be a good safety. He just has to learn a position. But, we're getting C.J. As Heather said, we're getting C.J. Hampton, who decommitted from Ole Miss today, Friday, around 5:30 Central. And I think LSU just finally got to Hootie. And who knows, he could flip back. But right now I'm hearing it's probably going to be LSU for Hootie. You know, this is a crazy time of year, Marty. And you win some, you lose some. But when it's all said and done, we still got Nick, and they still got old Lester.
Yeah, the only thing that gets, you know, I'm trying to come back with some sayings to my Auburn. You know my situation. I work around all Auburn people. It's just really rough. It really is. But you know,
don't want to be. You own them. Don't want to be.
But
just,
you
just friends.
It's
don't you
unreal.
Work at Rice Hospital, why?
The Gadsden branch, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's really hard. You know, the only thing I can come up with, you know, I seen that little post about Nick Saban's picture. You know, it says, you know, I'm staying. You need a second to get over it. You know, that's all. I try to come back with that a little bit, but, you know, it's not sticking too good. But, you know, hopefully, you know, what would be my dream thing this year to end this season really would be is Florida State just tear their rear end up. I mean, tear them up. Auburn finished below Alabama. Alabama finished number two in the country, you know. And I
we're
think
gonna do
that.
That's going
to happen. You know, I think that will shut them up for quite a while. You know, I hope so because, you know, everybody knows nobody remembers who loses that game. They only remember who wins it.
That's right.
That's a fact.
And I'm also excited about the two junior college transfer or junior college signees today. You know, Petway. You know, I know he's had his problems. I know, you know, hopefully, you know, the young man has learned his lesson and is going to come in. But his coach speaks highly of him from, you know, Mississippi, and also of Jarrett Reed. I think those two guys coming in is really going to put together. I mean, this defensive line that we've put together this year is just really remarkable. It's going to be kind of exciting to look to see how that unfolds.
Well, speaking of the secondary, that Marlon Humphrey and Kerry, help me with the pronunciation. Is it Tabor?
Yeah. Jalen Tabor.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get them both.
Those two guys are awesome. And I don't know if you guys are like me, but the secondary is what I've been cursing for the past few years.
Well, my only requirement of the new cornerbacks is when you're covering somebody and Nick Marshall starts running out to the line of scrimmage, don't run up there and try to tackle Nick Marshall. Stay on your damn man. Do that, and you're good with me.
I still want to know that Jackson killed.
But, hey, y'all guys, y'all really think that Marlon Humphrey, I mean, you really feel it strongly that he's going to sign with Alabama?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really worried about Pruitt being on him so hard because I had a really long talk with the current player this summer about the ins and outs. And he made it clear to me the only coach that gave no blanks was Pruitt. And that was the one that had recruited him. And he loved him. He was not bashing him at all. However, he let me know.
I'll tell you this, Heather. Pruitt's telling some of his close friends that he doesn't think he's going to get Marlon. So there's that. And that's as of just a few days ago.
I just worry about the cheating aspect. He said he's the only coach that did it.
Bobby and Barbara already had one boy go out of town, and it didn't work out too well for Modricus up at Arkansas. So they want to keep this one a little closer to home. In the end, this is going to be Bobby's decision. Marlon can hem and haw all he wants to, but on signing day, it's going to be Bobby's decision. And I'm telling you, Marlon's coming to Alabama.
Well, I hope you're right.
You know, I love you.
I agree with you.
I know I'm right.
I agree with you. We need corners in the worst way.
If we got to bring Drew on, y'all. He's only got a few minutes. Right? And he
I'm telling you, yeah, the corners are killing us.
Bird?
Hey, guys, roll tide. I'll get off here and listen to y'all. And y'all have a big Merry Christmas, and I hope everything goes good for y'all this year, man. And it's been a fun year this year listening to BAMS Radio.
Thank you, Marty.
Roll Tide, Marty. Bird at the moment is trying to deal with the technical difficulties of Legend being on a computer.
Drew is on hold. Drew's on hold. We need to bring him on.
Hey, Bird, come back over here because Drew's on hold, and you don't want me messing with this computer.
Legend, you've got to get off that form, man.
Drew's on hold.
Yeah, he's on hold, and he's only got a few minutes tonight, so let's bring him on.
So, Heather
may have some questions for Drew. I know I do.
Drew!
Fellas, how you guys doing? I'm glad Legend is among the living.
Legend is among the living. He is.
Good to hear from you, my friend.
We are joined by Drew DeArmond from AlabamaIntel.com. It's always good to have you here, Drew, and it's a crazy time of year, brother. We got decommitments to the left of us and recommitments to the right, and here I am stuck in the middle with Drew.
Absolutely. You know, I will tell you this. My text messages today have been in the hundreds. I've checked. The Hootie Jones thing was totally unexpected, came out of left field. I heard your thoughts, Kerry. I agree. I've had people try to tell me it's Ole Miss. I think it's LSU. I think he's having cold feet and wants to stay home. We'll see if he, you know, wises up, in my opinion, to make a better business decision for himself. But as of right now, I agree with you. I assume he's going to enroll at LSU. I know they're involved with Jamal Adams, a kid that they like. I don't believe in the rationale that they don't have room for Hootie Jones at LSU. But I still am confident Alabama's going to sign T.J. Hampson. I know there's a lot of Alabama fans that when one thing goes wrong, they panic, and they're thinking T.J. Hampson's going to recommit to Ole Miss. I don't believe that. I think that he's been solid with Alabama for a while. I think he still is. We'll see come Friday at 5:30, but I still am confident with T.J. Hampson coming to Alabama. I also heard your thoughts on Marlon Humphrey. I totally agree. I think Marlon Humphrey's coming to Alabama, and I think Jalen Tabor is very, very likely that to come to Alabama as well.
Well, two big junior college signees this morning, both from Eastern Pacific Community College in Scuba, and two outstanding players. one with a slightly checkered past, but hopefully he's put that behind him. And his junior college coach says he's been a model citizen, talking to DJ Pettway. But we also got big Jerron Reed today. They're both officially in the fold. Drew, talk about what those two guys are going to add to the Alabama defense next year.
Well, I tell you what, I saw both of them in the junior college national championship game. Both of them were very impressive. Pettway ended up with 11.5 sacks. And I will tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, DJ Pettway's legal situation has been resolved. He's good to go. He's been green-lighted. He's slimmed down. He's about 260, 265. He'll end up playing the Jack linebacker position. He'd been moved to Jack before his unfortunate situation last year in the bowl practices. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what impact he makes. But him and Jerron Reed, in my opinion, they're both going to back count. They're both going to make an impact. I think, you know, Alabama definitely needs the pass rush help with DJ Pettway. He looked like a very, very good physically when I saw him in the game. Jerron Reed is he's built like a donkey, and that's in a good way. He's got long arms, very good frame. He'll compete at the nose position, but he can also play either end. And they need some playmakers on the defensive line. I think this year we had some good players, but I don't think we had enough playmakers. And I think Jerron Reed is a definite playmaker and a future pro. And I know Redfish Barger is very high on his film, and I am as well. And I just think he's going to be a big-time impact guy. And I think those are two huge gifts, especially when you talk from a back count standpoint for Alabama in this class.
Seems to be a lot more optimism these days on Jalen Tabor, Drew. Talk a little about him.
Right, Jalen Tabor, he's about 6 foot, 6 foot one, 185. He's a cornerback. I think he's a guy that they project as a combo, a hybrid guy, more than likely a guy like Jarek Williams, a guy that can play the nickel and the nickel spot, the star position. I think if he can learn the defense quickly, he can definitely make an impact. He's got it down to Alabama and Arizona. Some people think Maryland's still involved. But I think he had a very good official visit to Alabama. I think he's going to pull the trigger for Alabama at the Under Armour game. And he's just a very, very good player. And if you add him and Marlon Humphrey to C.J. Hampton, I still think it'll be one of the best, if not the best, secondary classes in the country. A lot of people have already forgotten about Ronnie Clark right now. He could end up, you know, becoming a linebacker, but he looked very good in the Alabama-Mississippi game at safety. He has an excellent size, excellent athletic ability. So I still think Alabama's secondary class carry is going to be very, very good.
Totally agree. And the biggest part of the class, it seems to me so far, Drew, has been just the outstanding offensive line class. But with Brian Wallace, could there be one more man coming in the fold?
I really think Alabama's in good shape there. I think it's Alabama or Iowa. That seems to be the consensus. I think he had a very good official visit. He's going to commit at the Army game on January the 4th. Iowa's still a big-time factor, and Missouri is a little bit, I think. But I think Alabama's in good shape. Mario Cristobal's done a very good job. I mean, you could bookend him with Cameron Robinson. And also, don't forget, he did not sign today because he's not graduating until May, but you got Dominic Jackson, who's the number one junior college offensive tackle in the country, who his academic situation has definitely improved. It looks like he's going to make his grade. So he's another guy that will come in and compete. And, I mean, again, it hurts with Hootie Jones. We don't really know what his situation is, but I think Alabama's still in very good shape in this class. I still expect him to get Matt Elam. I've said it before, and I've said it many times on the show, the three pressure point guys to me for the class are Marlon Humphrey, Matt Elam, and Cam Robinson. If you get those three critical pieces, Alabama's class is very good. I still think they have a very good chance to have the top class in the country. They'll find it out with LSU.
How hard is it going to be for Matt to say no to the in-state school there at UK?
Oh, it's going to be tough. I mean, they've done a great job recruiting him for a long time, but I think his inner circle and his high school coach realized Alabama's the place for him and that he can reach his dreams there. And I think Alabama's in very good shape for Matt Elam, as I have not heard it change at all. And, I mean, he's a playmaker at nose guard that they've really been lacking, in my opinion. I think Brandon Ivory and Darren Leck are good players, but they need a true playmaker. And Matt Elam is the best in the country at his position, and he would be a nice – He might have to redshirt his first year to get his weight down, but he will be an impact player once he is in condition, and he's a guy that they really, really need by 2015, in my opinion.
Two people that people continue to ask about, and they seem like long shots, but you never say never with Nick Saban. In order, talk about Tony Brown and Leonard Fournette.
Well, I got to tell you, Tony Brown, I think it's down between Alabama and LSU. He did not make his Texas A&M visit. So I think he really likes Nick Saban. I would still probably have to favor LSU because of the fact that his family situation with his father and then his sister's going to run track at LSU. But I know this, he's a big fan of Nick Saban. He would be an excellent replacement for for a guy, even if Julio Jones is not in the class now. And, of course, with Bissett and Steven Roberts decommitting and flipping to Auburn. But he's a definite take. He's a five-star. He's had a spot in the class the whole time. He will also commit at the Under Armour game. It's going to be really interesting because I think LSU's feeling a little nervous about the situation. But I know Tony Brown had a very good visit for the LSU game and then a very good in-home with Nick Saban and Burton Burns. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, ultimately what Tony Brown does. Leonard Fournette talked to Robbie Green this Saturday in Tuscaloosa, the former Alabama defensive back. He's coming back to graduate, and I knew he was back on campus. He tells me that Alabama's going to get Leonard Fournette. Whether that's true, I don't know. I sure hope he's right. He was pretty adamant about it. He also said he was definitely working on Malachi Dupree, who's going to visit on January the 17th, but we will see. I mean, Leonard Fournette, to me, I still think LSU, because of the depth chart situation, you know, you're hearing that Jeremy Hill and Kenny Hilliard and even Alfred Blue will all be gone, so they would only have McKee back. So you would think he would make an immediate impact there, but we'll have to see. I know he had a very good official visit last weekend, and his father was with him.
And another name that keeps popping up is a receiver whose last name is Rudolph. What do we know about him?
Yeah, Travis Rudolph from near the Miami area. He's a good player. I think he's a guy that Alabama likes, but I think he's behind Malachi Dupree. I think Johnny Dixon was as well right now. I don't think Johnny Dixon – I'm not sure Johnny Dixon has a spot in the class. I do not think Rudolph does at this point because I think they have a shot at Malachi Dupree, though a lot of people think LSU is the favorite. But wide receiver is really not a need position right now. It'd be a luxury position. So I do not think Rudolph has a spot in the class. I think he's going to likely end up at FSU.
All right, well, who am I missing? I'm sure that's somebody I didn't bring up.
Well, and then last week, I know you talked about the young corner out of Missouri City, Texas. Watched some film of him. He's a kid that had unofficially visited in the Arkansas game. Had a really good time. It was his first time ever being to Alabama. He was able to bond with Ricky Town a little bit, and he did not have an official offer at that time. He did get one during this period, before the dead period this time when the coaches were out on the road. They went to see him, and obviously he got the offer. But he's a very, very good player. And I think he will definitely, as I said last week, they had been evaluating, if they offer him this early, he's definitely got a spot in the class.
Well, I think I want to say he's a junior, isn't he?
He is. He's a 2015, but he will definitely be a guy that's a priority.
So he needs to bomb with Ricky Town. Because
a lot of people do Ricky
Town. Plan, in my estimation, and I think you would agree with me, Drew, and hopefully this will calm Heather's nerves a little bit. I think the plan is 2 years of Jacob Coker and then 3 years of Ricky Town, and somewhere in there there will be about three national championships, I would say.
I hope so. I've heard very good things about Ricky Town. The film is unbelievable. If you want to go to YouTube, any of our listeners, and then just Google and just type in Ricky Town, you will see the sophomore highlights and the junior highlights, and then you can go have a beer and relax, because as long as he stays committed, the train will keep rolling.
Yeah, and we're hearing now that Jacob Coker won't graduate from Florida State until May. But if
Correct.
He comes on down to Tuscaloosa in June and starts going through skeleton drills, watching film, and going through the playbook, the offenses in Tallahassee and Tuscaloosa are not night and day different. They're quite similar. I think you and I both feel like, and I think maybe Redfish does too, that this kid will pick up Alabama's offense pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly. If you can graduate college in 3 years, Kerry, and Lord knows I didn't, I think you can pick up our offense quickly.
Like I said many times on the show, I watched the Garnet Gold Spring game where Winston went against Jacob Coker, and Jacob Coker played phenomenally. 6'5", 220, about a 4.6 in the 40, can throw the ball about 80 yards on the fly. He will pick up Alabama's offense quickly, and he will end any concerns that Alabama fans have about the quarterback position. I realize he's not officially committed or signed yet. He cannot do that until he gets his degree from Florida State. But trust me, as you know, Drew, I've talked to four or five people with St. Paul's ties in Mobile. Jacob Coker is coming to Alabama.
I totally agree with you. The coaching staff is totally on board with it. They want him to come in and compete. They think he's got the most upside, and I think he can start. And I think Colin Cowherd, what he said today, I think he'll regret it, talking about no A.J. McCarron, Auburn winning in Tuscaloosa, and back-to-back national championships when they haven't even won this one yet. So I think Jeremy Pruitt would find that amusing.
Well, the last two national – excuse me. Two of the last three national championships Alabama has won were with first-year starters at quarterback, McElroy in 2009, McCarron in 2011. It can be
correct.
Done, and it will happen again, maybe with Coker, maybe with Towne, but it will happen again with a first-year starter. So the train, is, as Legend has aptly pointed out for the last hour and a half, the train is not off the track. It's still rolling. Yeah, you know, we hit a little dead spot down there in Lee County, but that stuff happens. All it did was make Saban work harder, Drew. He got on the recruiting trail that week. He was going to be preparing for the SEC game, and he busted his ass on the recruiting trail. And all it's done with Saban is make him madder and more determined. So I'm not saying that's a silver lining. I'm just saying that's how he ticks.
Well, absolutely. And how many rings did Keenan Allen get?
Not a damn
one. And
how
many did we? And, yeah, did it stop us from rolling? Absolutely.
Nope.
That's what I'm saying. And we've missed on some very good football players. You know, we've had some guys that went in the first round that, you know, that went to other schools, such as Keenan Allen, you know. But, again, what I've said, it just shows how good of an evaluator Nick Saban is on some of the guys that like that we have not been able to procure because of other sometimes situations that's out of our control, such as with his brother wanting to play quarterback. But, again, the train keeps rolling. He's the best evaluator there is. He puts together the best coaching staffs in the country. And, Kerry, I'll say it again, you know, I don't think it's said enough. Last year's national championship team, we lost five guys to knee injuries. There's nobody else in America that could have still won a national championship and with that happening.
Absolutely. And, you know, Drew, speaking of evaluations and Saban, my favorite Saban evaluation was Chance Wormack, where Mark Richt didn't have him as a take, and Saban gets him very early in the process. Chance Wormack goes on to become an LOSC All-American and start in the NFL as a rookie. His younger brother, Drew, I'm not sure if you read this or not, but young Dallas Wormack, a class of 2015 kid who's already committed to Alabama, he squatted 500 yesterday at his high school.
Good bloodlines, my friend. You never can go wrong.
Jiminy Cricket, dude. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Bird, Legend, Heather, chat room. Who else has questions for Drew?
I didn't have a head blow up when I saw that Hootie D committed, and I unfortunately was working on Legend's technical setup and never did get it to go. So what is the potential of him going to LSU, which I think is probably where you would think he's leaning, versus maybe staying with Bama?
Well, you know, Bert, I think it'd probably be 60-40 at least LSU. But the thing is, he has to enroll early, so this will be over quickly. Alabama's going to move on. I want to find out. An interesting thing to me is I want to do some digging and see if they still have an interest in Davion Hall. You know, he's a guy from Texas, the Texarkana area, who they had brought in on an unofficial, and he's a guy that's committed to Baylor who they were very interested in. Will they go back? Will they talk to him? You know, they always have a board, and they're always got guys calling. It's going to be interesting to see what they do now that Hootie Jones is not on board. And, you know, then who's to say he won't come wake up tomorrow and be back on board? You never know. But I don't think that it's affected C.J. Hampton. I don't think it's affected Cam Robinson or Caleb's or Cameron Sims. So I know there's a lot of people that, you know, were gnashing teeth over that, but I don't think it has any effect on them or O.J. Smith, any of the other guys. I think it's Hootie Jones' decision. I think he wasn't comfortable with it. Respect his decision, see what happens in the end, and move on.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'm not losing any sleep over it, but
we're going to have the number one class, you know, with or without Hootie Jones.
You know, the thing is, guys, 3 months ago I never would have thought Hootie Jones was in the class anyway. They did a great job securing his commitment. Obviously, it didn't stick, but, I mean, they've done a great job recruiting. I'm like Kerry. I still think they got a very good chance of getting the number one class. I think they've done a well of evaluating. And, you know, remember a few years back, you know, Daquan Menzi was a last-second take. He was a pretty good football player.
A little bit.
Was that a chime in? By the way, folks, we've got a caller on hold, 559-515-8434. Drew, do you have time for us to bring them on?
Sure, no problem.
This ain't the Skype guy, is it?
I don't know. I've got my finger next to the X.
Okay. All right, go for it.
Hello, 559. You're on live with the BAMS crew. How can we help you tonight? Hello?
Okay, well, I'll see. What's Robert's area code?
It's not 559 at all.
I never heard of 559. But anyway, Heather, you still there?
I am here.
Any questions for Drew about recruiting?
I'm sorry, what?
Any questions for Drew about recruiting or anything else?
No, I'm good. Unless you can fill me in on who Eddie killed this year.
What was the question?
I'm still a little perplexed of why I don't know what Eddie did to get to the doghouse so bad.
Oh, I do.
I can tell you.
There was no reason for him
to be in the
doghouse.
He decided not
to
show up.
Well, you skip a midterm and you got to make an A the rest of the way to pass the class, Heather, and you're not practicing the way you should either. It can cause issues. And the young man right now is having work ethic questions. I don't think he's as hungry as Coach Saban would like. He's a supreme talent. He's been told he can be the best corner Saban's ever coached. But
there's no doubt. He's so much better than Cyrus.
No question about that.
The problem is you got to have your mind right. Go back to the old Scott Cochran-ism. You have to have your mind right. And if you don't have your mind right.
Well, you know what the same problem is, though. You've got players like Chris Black, who I am such a huge fan of.
Well, Chris Black's time is coming. Just I can assure you.
I hope so. I'm the biggest Chris Black fan ever. He's got his wonderful right to any player I've ever met.
Yeah, he's going to have a big year next year. He just had too many seniors ahead of him this year. He's going to have a huge year next year.
He'll have a chip on his shoulder, and he'll be hungry. And if he's hungry, big dogs eat. And he will be on the field, and he will be ready to go. He will be a weapon. I mean, I think no doubt. And the big key is going to have get Amari Cooper. To be Amari Cooper for 12 months. And, it took some adjusting this year to get him rolling. Some of it was injury.
Well, the thing
is,
he's so hungry and he's so, right over there, my little sister's at Alabama, and I see so many of them, and they're drinking and not taking anything seriously. And he is so focused 100% of the time, Monday through Sunday. He is so focused. And I'm so ready for him to break out because he has earned it.
Well, he has, and if he continues to work, that will take care of itself, no question about it. I think he can get 2 years and be in the NFL, reach his dreams. I know that's what he wants to do. He has the raw talent and ability to do so. I think he has as much potential as Amari Cooper, but sometimes that's circumstances there. And also, just be on the lookout for Robert Foster. He put on a show on the scout team. Also, Darius Stewart, who's redshirted, he's another guy to watch for in the bowl practices. Kevin Norwood, one of the all-time favorites. Kenny Bell, nice career. But Alabama at wide receiver, as Kerry will attest to you, that will not be lacking in talent in Alabama for a long time.
No, they won't miss a beat next year. We need Amari to have a great whole season. We need Chris to get in the rotation and start producing, which he will. I'm confident he will, Heather. But that brought up to mind another question, Drew, that I want to ask you because I know you don't have that much time tonight. It sounds like there's some really interesting decisions going on by our juniors about staying or going. I just saw a tweet
right.
from Andrew Gribble, our beat writer from AL.com, that it will be after the Sugar Bowl before Jeffrey Pagan and Cyrus Kwanjo make their final decisions. But what about other guys like DePriest and Hubbard and some of these guys? What's the latest you're hearing on who's staying and who's going in the junior class?
Well, I'm hearing Cyrus Kwanjo is leaning towards staying. There's a certain former All-American I watched walk across the stage Saturday. His name's Chris Samuels. He's a very familiar to everybody listening to this show. But he got his degree, and from what I've heard, a 12-year vet, 7-time Pro Bowler, when he speaks, people listen. I've heard he's told Cyrus he's not ready and that he needs to stay. And right now Cyrus is in the 20s as far as the mock draft. I think he's leaning towards staying and playing with his brother. And from what I hear, I think there's three guys right now that are leaning towards leaving early. I think two of them are making a mistake. And you just have to tell it like it is. Adrian Hubbard, who I think needs to learn to accept coaching and play up to his capability, has been leaning toward leaving. I'm hoping that none of these guys have had final meetings with Coach Saban. I'm hoping they can talk him back on to the ledge and get his mind right. Jeffrey Pagan, I've heard, is leaning toward leaving, but I think he would be a third-rounder at best. I think he's a good football player. I think he could be a better football player if he stayed. I thought he showed flashes this year, but he needs to be more consistent. And the one that I do think is more than likely gone is Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. He looks like he's back from his knee injury. He had a very good year when healthy and eligible. And I think he's a top 20 draft pick. I would love to see him stay, but I think more than likely Haseem will leave early and go to the NFL draft.
What about DePriest?
I have heard through someone that knows DePriest's brother that the thought of leaving had gone through his mind toward the end of the season. But as of right now, I believe he's staying, and he should. He played his best football the last 5 to 6 games. He will be the focal point of the linebacking core, will have a chance to be a team captain. He needs to stay because I think he would be a mid-round draft pick at best, Gary.
I like the thought of him and Reuben Foster, inside linebacker.
Absolutely. And you
like
can see Dylan Lee get a look there too, especially if Hubbard came back. But to be honest, if Hubbard doesn't have his head screwed on straight, I'm not sure that I want him to come back. And I'm just being honest. And
you know,
I think
some of the guys, Saban wouldn't admit it, you know, but I think some of the guys, he kind of hopes they do leave because they're turds.
Well, that happens every year. There are people that just don't come into it and don't get it.
Well, I'll have to say to DePriest is not one of them.
No, he's
great. Thinking about leaving, and
I
was
talking about him, Heather. I know what he did for your sister. I know. Why don't you tell that story,
yeah.
Heather?
He's pretty confident about staying right now. DePriest is a good man.
I think he's
going
to stay.
Yeah.
But Heather, tell the listeners what DePriest did for y'all.
Well, we did a fundraiser for a suicide awareness walk because suicide affected our family this year. And Trey is friends with my sister and did not know. He thought it was just walking around the quad. He thought it was nothing. So, you know, he came and he wore his shirt representing Kevin McDonald. And he got there and he saw the TV cameras, and literally within 10 minutes, 15 kids were swinging off of him. And he had to do a TV interview. And he was so gracious. He stood there. He thought what was going to be 30 minutes. Walking around the quad representing Kevin's memory. Ended up being 2 hours. Autographs, everything. And he was so nice. And I've never written anything about, I've never written a review. I've never written anything. And it moved me so much. I contacted the athletic department. And that's actually how I got to be friends with Linda, Coach Saban's secretary. And that's actually how we got Ashley with Ben, because I was so moved by it. I wanted to let them know, and they cared because they contacted me back, and then a week later, someone contacted me back, and they're like, can you please explain this in more detail, because, you know, they have to have a certain amount of community service hours, what did this mean, and I had to write, you know, a pretty in-depth email about it. But Trey is a really good person.
That's good to hear. I think he and Benny Sunseri are going to be big time leaders next year. They came in together and they're going to leave together, and I think that's the way it should be.
Good stuff. And Heather, you're hearing
from what he's saying to them, he's back.
Well, we need
I think
him
he
back.
Will
that's
be
great.
I think he's making a wise decision.
That's great. Great kid. This is a great story. I appreciate you sharing that, Heather. I know that was tough, but I really appreciate you sharing that with our listeners.
Really, it's a great thing. Great thing.
Drew, from the chat room, we've got one of the listeners is asking, do Alvin Kamara and Tyron Jones stick around or transfer?
It's to be determined, guys. I think that I wouldn't be surprised if both young men were gone, but, you know, there's only one football, and as everybody knows, no running backs are leaving right now as far as early to the NFL, and no seniors. Jalston will be back. So the depth chart's going to be stacked, and, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if there was some attrition. Let's just put it like that. As of right now, nothing set in stone. Would like to see Alvin Kamara try the slot receiver position in the spring, but we'll see what happens there.
Thanks.
I actually had seen Jalston Fowler's name as somebody that was thinking about leaving, and I was like, what?
No. He needs, Gary, much like Dante, he needs another year to get his knee right. He wasn't right this year. He's not jousting yet. And I think in another year, he'll be more explosive. And I expect him to be a bigger factor next year offensively.
I expect Derrick Henry to be a bigger factor next year offensively.
Well, you hope so. You hope they picked up a system. And I think Kenyon Drake is maybe the most talented player on our offense, but he needs to dedicate himself. He needs to be assignment sound, and he needs to hold on to the football if he wants to hold on to his job, because there will be a lot of competition in the spring carry. I think this is probably the most anticipated spring since 2008 coming up.
Yeah, the A-Day will probably be Luke Del Rio versus Blake Sims. And then 3 months later, the real starting quarterback will get on campus. But the whole rest of A-Day, though, is going to be quite intriguing.
It will be intriguing. It's Grant Hill getting reps at right guard. We've been talking about that. I think he is going to move inside of here today. Leon Brown got some reps there. It's going to be interesting to see how the offensive line materializes. If Cyrus Kwanjo comes back, does Cameron Robinson make a run at right tackle? Do they move Austin Shepherd inside? So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the personnel groupings and whether O.J. Howard, a year in the offseason conditioning program. To me, Kerry, next year he's got to catch 40 passes, man. He led the team in yards per catch. He's got to be a bigger factor. I'm hoping that's why Lane Kiffin came, talked to our guys and to brainstorm with our coaching staff. We've got to get the young man more touches. He's got to be more involved.
My
Agreed.
Goodness, I'm a huge O.J. Howard fan. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The kid's a freak.
He
will revolutionize our tight end position in recruiting by the time he leaves Alabama.
Yeah, he got underused a little bit in some of the games.
You look at it, guys, in the pressure point. Trent Richardson and Mark Ingram have set Alabama up in running back recruiting. A.J. McCarron is going to set up quarterback recruiting. Julio Jones has set up wide receiver recruiting. O.J. Howard will set up tight end recruiting. Our offensive line recruiting has been set up because of Barrett Jones, D.J. Fluker, and Andre Smith, James Carpenter, all these first-round draft picks. Chance Warmack, absolutely was fixing to say Chance Warmack. That's the way it is. They want to reach the NFL. They want to set their family up financially, and Nick Saban is the guy to go to. And you get your degree, and you have guys like Trey DePriest who do all the community service, Benny Sunseri. I'm sure you guys saw the AJ feature with AJ McCarron. What a great guy AJ McCarron is. So our program is as strong as it's ever been. Colin Cowherd, the national media can nitpick all they want, but guess what? We're going nowhere. All we're going is back to work. And everybody get ready, because next year we're going to have a chip on our shoulder and come out strong, no doubt.
I totally agree. Anything else in the chat room for Drew?
No, that's been it. Let me go back.
Did we ever get the Rock on?
I never did get the Rock. I was looking for him.
At his office.
Hey, Drew, I have a question before you leave.
Sure.
What's your opinion of TJ?
Of T.J. Yeldon. I think he's a supreme talent. I think he has a little bit of issues with ball security, but I think it's fixable. Look at Eddie Lacy. I think he's a first-round draft pick. If he continues to produce the way he has, I think he showed some toughness this year. He got a little bit nicked up but never missed much playing time. I know there's been some issue with the people, and including for myself, why Kenyon Drake didn't get more reps in the second half against Auburn, but that's only to give T.J. a blow. T.J. has proven himself. He's at 2,300 or so yards in 2 years. I think he has a chance to be the all-time leading rusher at Alabama if he continues to improve, which I think he will. And I think he's a guy who's quiet. He goes about his business. He doesn't have explosive speed as far as breakaway speed, but he's still an excellent pro back because he can block, catch, and run. He's an all-around player. And I think next year he can be as fine as any running back in the country. And the one thing you've seen under Nick Saban, Mark Ingram did get nicked up his junior year, but usually with these guys, they're a year better. You only either get better or you get worse. And if he stays healthy, Heather, sky's the limit. I think he can be a great football player, and I think he and Kenyon Drake and Derrick Henry could be a three-headed monster next year, no doubt.
King of Twitter was asking if any of our current quarterbacks transfer out.
Absolutely. I think the three to watch are Cooper Bateman, Alec Morris, and Parker McLeod.
Yeah, I don't see any way Morris or McLeod are back. I don't know. Cooper's kind of on the fence, I think. Could go either way.
Yeah. The spring will tell the story.
Right. They won't do it until the summer, yeah. I think all those guys – I don't even know about Alec going through spring, Drew. What do you think?
I think he'll go through spring. He's waited this long. I think he wants to try to compete. He wants to see where he lands. Obviously, he was in a much better position this time a year ago, but you just want to go out and compete. And then I agree with Kerry. I think the summer will take care of it.
Yep.
You better be watching film.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I enjoyed it again. As always, BAMS Radio is great, great for me. I enjoyed it every week. I know we had to – last night was a little bit disappointing in basketball, but I think it's come to be expected, unfortunately. But and I think today was a little rough, but as Kerry has rightly stated, a couple of small bumps in the road are not going to keep the train from rolling, and I think Alabama is going to continue to roll, especially on the recruiting trail. I think Coach Saban's re-energized, and now that he's agreed to his new extension, he's going to be here for the duration of his career, and I'm looking forward to what the future holds.
No, you got to run, but go ahead and tell them where they can find you on Twitter and the Internet.
Absolutely, on the Internet, alabamaintel.com, I-N-T-E-L. We were able to break the Anthony Steen story with the torn labrum first. We're proud of that. We had an excellent source there that told us. Now, I hate it for Anthony. I think he was the best guard in the country this year. I think he'll play a long time in the NFL, but his career is likely over at Alabama. I hate that. But and also, you can catch me on Twitter at Drew DeArmond, at Drew D, Al Intel, capital A, capital L, Intel. And we always try to break information. We're going to be digging on the Hootie Jones stuff. We had Jaron Reed and DJ Petway first just a couple of weeks ago, so we're excited about that. And we're excited to see where the recruiting class, how it shapes up. Because you know Coach Saban's always got a plan.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so much, Drew. And Roll Tide.
Thank you,
Roll
Kerry.
Tide, Drew.
And Roll Tide to y'all.
Merry Christmas to you, brother.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to
all you guys. Absolutely.
Thanks, Drew.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Evan. And great story on Trey DePriest. And I know you'll see him. Tell him Roll Tide, and we look forward to seeing him next year.
Absolutely. Thanks.
And Chris Black. Tell him his time's coming.
Oh, he's going to have an awesome year next year. I know he is.
Yep.
All righty then. So, Bird, what else is on the docket tonight?
Oh, it's, we really haven't talked any basketball. I don't know if I really want to tonight.
Do we have to?
No.
Do we have to?
No.
Do y'all really want me to go on my Bruce Pearl rant?
Here's a piece of good news. It sounds like we've got funding approved for a new baseball stadium down at the Campstone.
That's where my sister comes in handy.
How is that? Is she going to play baseball?
We need to get Coach Bennett on here.
I've talked to her about
his
that.
His dad is leading the charge. His dad is leading the funding for all this.
Yeah, and I have actually had a couple of contacts with him, and looking forward to having them on when we get closer to baseball season.
Now tell us,
yeah,
Coach Ben.
Yeah,
his
dad
coach?
Has great visions for this. So
he's a strength and conditioning coach for baseball team.
He is a lead strength and conditioning coach for the baseball team, but he's under my favorite coach.
Yeah, he should be. My God, he's built like a brick shit house.
No, I'm.
Don't get all flustered.
Who is the greatest strength and conditioning coach ever?
He's a nice guy. And
Scott Cochran?
Cochran.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he's under him, but he is the lead one for the baseball team. Fabulous guy. His dad, really great personal friends with Saban. And he's leading the complete effort, and it's supposed to be really nice, and it's well overdue.
Yeah, well overdue.
Guys,
sure. Hopefully it's
guys
a shot.
Guys are so behind there, it's not even funny.
Sure. I agree.
Yep.
I'm glad they're doing something about it. I was hoping to put it at a different location. That didn't happen, but I've heard about the plans of tearing it down and building it back, and I think it's going to be a very, very nice thing.
Well,
and go ahead and rename Coleman Coliseum to Patterson Coliseum or Coleman-Patterson Coliseum. And
well, here lately it's been Coleman Mausoleum.
Coleman Mausoleum, yeah.
That's what it was under Hobbs, and it's gotten back to that now, unfortunately.
Oh,
you know, that's the saddest part about the whole basketball part is they put so much money into redoing it, they're not going to tear it down, and it should be.
It's okay. It's an okay place to go watch a basketball game. It's certainly not what
it beats the hell out of State or Ole Miss. I can tell you that.
That's true. But you know what? You look at Memphis and where the kids are playing in Memphis, and you know Memphis claim to fame.
Beat the hell out of Vandy, too.
It's, you know, Vandy. What a weird gym. I don't know if
that place is.
Either one of you guys have been to that, but that's...
Unfortunately, I have.
It's like a church upside down. I mean, it is a real strange gymnasium.
That's awful.
Well, I don't know.
Like
how, as an opposing team,
I shouldn't open my mouth about basketball because I don't know that much about it. I need to stick to football, but I do have to ask a question.
Sure.
Okay.
And I can't even remember his name. That's just how little I know. Anthony Grant's assistant when he was... See, I can't even think of the place. Where was he before Alabama?
VCU.
Virginia Commonwealth, yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at his record the other day, and he is doing so well. Do you ever wonder if there's...
Who was actually winning up there? Was it the assistant or was it the head coach? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I'm trying to say, is there a cooperation like between Chizik and the guest bus? I read a great article talking about how assistant coaches in basketball are not appreciated like they are in football when they really mean so much, but. Guys, as little as I know about basketball, I did work with Brian Passing for a lot of years. And I did hear his diatribes. And I'm just kind of wondering. I don't know.
Well, I think right now that it's a good point, Heather, and I think there's a lot of wondering going on. I think it started last year, quite frankly, with me. And I don't mean I was leading the charge on this, but I began to scratch my head, and it's just the brand of basketball that is played. And then I finally came to the realization after looking at the win-loss record at the end of the year that basically what Anthony had done was played based on the performance of the kids that he had. He wasn't trying to fit a system to them. He was trying to fit them into a system. I guess that came out right. Anyway, you know what I meant. The bottom line was it was a boring brand of basketball. It was a grinding. It was ugly, ugly, ugly basketball. It was hard to watch. But at the end of the day, they end up winning. Now the question is with the tandem of Relaford and Lacey broken up now, has that broken the back of that chemistry on that team? I mean, I don't know that is that the correct pronunciation, routine, has been able to come in and fill the shoes of Lacey. And whether we like it or not, how much of the carrying of the team is on Relaford's back? Because I don't see anybody else stepping up on the team outside of Relly. And, you know, we get down 5, 6, 7 points and Relly leads the charge and it's Relly this, Relly that with a sore hip. Where are the rest of these guys, you know, shaking the cobwebs out of their head and catching fire and going along? Lacey would, but I'm not seeing that out of this team. And I don't know that that's something the coach can do. I think that's – or maybe the coach has got to say, hey, let it go. Terry, what do you think?
I certainly don't think they're losing games because Trevor Lacey's not there. Rhett Nabasahan's stats have been as good, if not better, than Lacey's were. But Retton doesn't know the game as well as Lacey did. Lacey was a smarter player than Retton. Retton's kind of a little dynamo that just kind of runs around out there and tries to make things happen, kind of like James Robinson before he got more experienced. I think Retton will get better every year. He has gotten better every year and may end up being a James Robinson-type guy by the time he leaves Alabama. But right now he's not there. He's inconsistent. Relly's the only consistent guy we have. Anthony Grant had no idea Trevor Lacey was going to transfer. He had no idea that Devontae Pollard's mom was going to go ballistic and kidnap a child. He had no idea that Musa Gabe was going to suck the way he sucked and end up transferring. Because everybody wanted these guys coming out of high school.
Yeah, but you're not even maximizing the roster, though.
Well, I kind of agree with that. I'm not defending Anthony Grant.
If only we had the big white kid.
I will tell you two things, one of which Heather's going to hate. Bill Battle will never hire Bruce Pearl under any circumstance. He considers him a cheater. He considers him somebody that could get the university back on probation the first month he's on the job.
Well,
he will never.
Okay.
Hunt. Now,
okay.
Listen, but there are other people.
Would
out
you
there.
Let me address that really quick, please?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Alabama in basketball is not an elite program.
They're an NIT program.
And that is the best coach we could ever get at this program, period.
I agree.
And the reason why he got on probation was kind of a bunch of BS.
No.
But he lied about it.
He lied about it.
If he'd been honest about it up front, he wouldn't have a show calls on him right now. No major team in
okay,
e-sport,
Terry,
football,
you and Bertie know me better. I mean, you guys know me. I'm not a liar. I hate liars. I've gotten spooked and scared at times, and I've told a lie before. I bet you guys have too. Come on. We've done some bad things in this program.
Yes. But we don't have a show cause
somebody
put
like
on
that.
By the NCAA that don't expire until August of next year.
I know. That's fine. Let's suffer through it.
They can't.
Suffer through
well,
it and hire them in August. And we've got to have somebody, because this is not a basketball school, doesn't mean it couldn't be a basketball school.
Oh, it could be.
You've got to have somebody sell this program. Anthony Grant is the worst PR program. He's like the anti-Franklin.
Yeah, he is. And Bruce
I mean,
would do great at Alabama, you're right, but they're not. The timing is wrong for Bruce unless he wants to wait until March of 2015. I don't know that he'll wait that long. Somebody that doesn't care about the show calls will snap
his
up. The battle. Well, he expires in August of 14. You can't hire a basketball coach a month before school starts because he'll destroy your recruiting class, and the class that you sign in that October will get destroyed and all that. So, like it or lump it, Anthony Grant's going to be there until March of 2015. And at that point, when these transfers that are sitting out this year, there's two of them, and both of them are very good players. One of them is like the next coming to Robert Horry, and the other one is a very solid SEC-type point guard. Not to mention the three recruits Grant has coming in. He's going to be judged more next year. Next year, I think he has to make the NCAA tournament, and it'll probably win a game if he wants to be back the following year. But I just don't think Battle's going to do anything until March of 15 unless this season entirely tanks like Godfrey's last year did. Now, if that happens, I'll say Bill may go ahead and do something, but it won't be Bruce Pearl. He will not hire a guy with a show called. He may go after that guy from Wichita State that coached last night against us, Greg Marshall, who went to the Final Four last
yep.
year.
Yep.
He may go after a former Mike Krzyzewski assistant.
Well, yeah,
Jeff
I mean,
Bell.
They went after, I mean, it lets us all up Mal Moore. I mean,
well,
Grant
Mal wouldn't have hired
name.
Bruce Pearl either.
You can't do that.
Mal
I'm telling you, Bruce Pearl could, he is the end to Saban's game. In his craziness, in enthusiasm,
I would love
game,
to have him. This is,
would
this is
turn this around. They
like
would
me.
Have so many students in that stadium
yep.
going crazy.
And I'm not telling you
it
that
would
I
be
disagree.
An intelligent decision.
I like Bruce Pearl, but Alabama's not going to hire a guy that's on probation until his probation's over, and they're not going to hire a guy in August of 14, a month before school starts. They just can't do that, Heather. You can't do it. You destroy two recruiting classes if you do that. Could they hire him in March or April of 15 if Bruce still hasn't taken a job somewhere? Yeah, they could. Or if Bruce takes a crap job at some small school, just get back into coaching and goes there 1 year, could Alabama hire him in March of 2015? Yeah, they could. But they're not going to hire Bruce Pearl before March of 15, and they probably wouldn't hire him even then because of his checkered past. But there's other good coaches out there like Greg Marshall, Wichita State, Jeff Capel that was a Duke assistant. There's guys out there that are solid coaches they could get. But I just don't think they're going to do a full evaluation.
He is the elite. He is the best you could get.
I agree. He would do great at Alabama.
Love to have him, but unfortunately he made decisions, and not just at Tennessee, Heather. He made decisions way before Tennessee that have that have sullied his past and have checkered his career, and Alabama has had enough of the NCAA, whether in any sport after our 6 years or 7 years of hell with Roy Kramer and that whole fiasco. And that's why you see them almost being over the top when it comes to that's why I was surprised when USC brought Orgeron and Kiffin back, because they were really kind of the perpetrators of that whole process of the USC being in trouble in football. That, I mean, it blew my mind. Say, why in the hell would they bring those guys back? Because they're the ones that, started the whole thing. And I just don't see our upper ups, our upper echelon, the battles of this world. And Mal wouldn't have either.
Mal would not have.
No, too much tarnish. And that's not to denigrate that he's not a brilliant coach and a brilliant leader and a brilliant floor leader and a motivator and all the things you want in a top five program. But you know what? He's just got too many bad eggs and a bit of a bad smell when he walks in the room. And this particular university won't have anything to do with him.
I totally agree. And I'm not saying that to make you upset, Heather. I'm just telling you the mindset in Tuscaloosa about Bruce Pearl is to never hire him.
I know.
He does. I agree with him. But you know, it's fun to think about, and he would get the attendance up, and he'd get him in the tournament most years. But, you know, the bottom line is he lied to NCAA, and they know that, and that's permanently on his record. And with all the problems Alabama's had,
I'm just wondering, is the NCAA going to exist by then?
Well, that's a valid point, too. I just don't think any changes are going to be made until March of 15 unless the SEC season tanks. And by tanks, I mean something like 6-12 in the SEC. And unless somebody like Rutherford gets hurt, they're not going to go 6-12. They're probably going to go about 10-8 or 11-7 because the SEC sucks so much this year that even our team can go about 11-7 or 10-8 in that conference. And it's going to be either barely getting the NIT or not going anywhere. But if Grant goes like 16-15 or 17-16, something like that this year, they're not going to fire him. They're going to tell him he's got one more year, and he better start promoting the program. I will tell you this, Heather. I'm a member of the UA basketball tip-off club that meets at Bright Star 5 or 6 times a year, and we normally never have a meeting in the summer. But Bill Battle made Grant conduct summer meetings this year to try to go out and sell the program. So Bill Battle knows there's a problem, okay? But I don't think he's ready to make a move unless the SEC season completely tanks. And I don't think it will, because the SEC sucks this year. It really does. It's Florida, Kentucky.
Well, no, I guess Florida and everybody else. Even Kentucky's questionable.
Yeah, well, Kentucky's got so many freshmen, and they keep doing this one-and-done stuff, and it's finally caught up to them. And,
right.
But by the end of the year, they're probably going to be pretty good. You know, Kentucky's probably still good to be second in the SEC.
Alabama is a program, I mean, not to compare it to Vanderbilt football, but it is kind of like that, and you need that. I am such a James Franklin fan. He gets on the radio, and he sells this program and sells it. He makes me want to go to a ball game.
Well, they're coming to Birmingham.
And nobody is going to basketball games.
No,
nobody is.
No, I agree. I've been to almost all the
I don't even remember, and I listen to sports talk constantly. I don't remember last time I've heard Anthony Graham on the radio.
No, nobody cares.
He doesn't sell this program for crap, and you've got to be a coach that can sell the program. Yeah. Saban may be getting the Cadillac, and he's getting the watch, but get over it.
Good
That's
Bryant,
what it
rough
is.
Analogy there.
Get out there and sell it.
Well, Heather, I want to personally thank you for calling in tonight. You've been like a great co-host. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I probably talked too much.
No, we don't have enough female participation on this show, and you made this show better tonight, and we appreciate it.
Thank you. You know, I love you two guys. Y'all are great.
It deserves a hug.
Merry Christmas.
Festivus makes Jesus sad. Merry Christmas.
Now, the question is, on our going out music, do we play Let It Snow by Low Straitjackets or Hark the Herald by Amy Grant? I know which one you're going to pick.
You know I'm going to pick Amy.
Me too. That's why I put it out there.
As my pastor said this past Sunday, Christmas is not about Jesus' infancy. Christmas is about Jesus' deity.
Well, listen, guys, in all seriousness, we have to thank our listeners. We will not be on the air next week, as it is Christmas Day, and I'm going to be busy. I'm sure everybody else is to do BAMS. Then the next show would theoretically be from New Orleans, and I will be having dinner at Muriel's that night, and it's possible we may do a show, and I'll see if I can get with Carrie and with Rock, but it would be a call-in for the bird. But we've hit 50,000 listeners. We have to appreciate every single one of you. You're spread all over the country.
50,000?
Yep, we've hit 50,000 listeners. And
Lord have mercy.
It's a lot of fun, and it certainly is gratifying to be able to go to the BAMS tent, the BAMS tailgate, and all the friends we have made through that and all the contacts we've made have certainly been a blessing to me. Thank you to our host for this year.
Hey, guys, do you mind if I say something really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I know the holidays can be pretty depressing for some people. Just always know that there's someone there for you. I'm a big proponent of suicide prevention. And it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And there is always someone there for you. So please always remember that, even though the holidays are rough. Get through them, because there's somebody there that loves you. And I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas.
Make sure you let people know you love them. Make sure people be kind, be compassionate, be empathetic, and carry your religion further than just inside the four walls of your church. Let the stuff that they talk about in there become the actual foot feet to your life. And anyway, we do appreciate all of our listeners. We love our football team. I miss Mal Moore like crazy. I do. And huge hole in the program. But you know what? I'm glad Saban is back. And they will do things right and take care of things on the capstone. But they and you, our listeners, are the reason that we are here now, and you're all a blessing to us. So with that, a Merry Christmas to you, Miss Heather. A Merry Christmas to you, Master Kelly. A Merry, Merry Christmas to the legend. And I'm going to take us out here with little Amy Grant. Merry Christmas to all.
Love you guys. Merry Christmas.
And as my friend Mathilde would say, Merry Christmas.
Hallelujah. Sing glory to newborn King, peace on earth and mercy